And welcome, friends, to the Generations broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you. And today we want to encourage the strengthening of worship. Certainly that is the reason for our existence, that we glorify God and enjoy Him forever. And we do that in worship. We do that all week long, but we also do it in corporate worship on a Sunday. And the impoverishment of worship seems to me to be one of the most significant travesties of the present day. We're just seeing a breakdown in worship for a lot of reasons. Sometimes worship is reduced to primal screams or the worldview of romanticism, where content is lost, faith is lost, ultimately, when we lose the fear of God, a holy reverence in the worship service. Huge impoverishment to worship. And also, we live in an era of man-centeredness. Man is at the center. And man considers himself the center of worship and life, as well as the source of truth, reality, and ethics. So man has displaced God, and God has died the death of 1,000 qualifications in life and worship. And that, my friends, has brought about a tremendous impoverishment of worship in the gathering of the saints on the first day of the week. But in terms of our worship, let's get back to the great compendium of wonderful hymnody that is available for us over 2,000 years of Christian history. We have a great Christian heritage. Don't just throw it away. Of course, we would begin with psalmody. We begin with the heritage of inspired psalms given to us in the Old Testament. So we sing the psalms, of course. The church should be singing the psalms, whole psalms, of course. But in terms of content, let's bring good content back. In the hymnody, we praise God, but we praise Him for who He is. We describe what He is, who He is, what He has done for us. And the hymns should contain rich content, not just the 7-11 ditties. We talk about the 7-11 ditties, seven words repeated 11 times. No. There's much more to say, and we want to discover more depth in our hymns. Hymns should give us content for meditation, something to chew on, something to meditate on day and night. And the content should be biblical content as well. We want to be singing Scripture, as I mentioned, whole psalms as well as other parts of Scripture. And ideally, you want a song worth singing multiple times, such that it might take you a couple of years to fully understand the depth of it. Popular culture lacks depth. Typically, popular culture is a throwaway culture. The idea is that the song will last for about 6 months, if that, or maybe 2 to 3 years in some cases, but you move on to another round of throwaway hymns and psalms and choruses and such. That's the idea of popular culture. There should also be some effort put into artistic elements, symmetry, rhyme, beauty. Modern music is celebrating the random, the meaningless, the free verse, throwing paint on a canvas and letting it splash all over the place. And then you say, well, that's beautiful. Well, that's not beautiful. That's an accident. That's just an accident. That's all that is. And so you get music that looks a lot like modern art, and that's where we are today, sadly. So, friends, I encourage you that you bring back the hymnody. Excellent forms of art and music usually last more than 2 months. It speaks to multiple generations at various levels, crosses cultural boundaries, crosses cultural boundaries and generational boundaries. And that, my friends, is real art, real culture that has any substance to it. Well, what we've done in our music and our hymnody in our church is we've done a number of different things. I've rewritten some hymns. We've also written sequels. We sing extra verses of some of the hymns. For example, Crown Him with Many Crowns, we would include Crown Him the Lord of Lords, who over all doth reign, who once on earth the incarnate word for ransom sinners slain, now lives in realms of light where saints with angels sing their songs before Him day and night, their God, Redeemer, King. Crown Him the Lord of heaven, enthroned in worlds above, crown Him the King to whom is given the wondrous name of love. Crown Him with many crowns as thrones before Him fall. Crown Him, ye kings, with many crowns, for He is King of all. Those are the verses that are often left out in modern hymnody, but we want to include some of those We also enjoy some of the extra verses Charles Wesley included in "O for a Thousand Tongues to Sing Him." "Hear him, ye deaf, his praise, ye dumb, you loosened tongues employ. Ye blind, behold your Savior come, and leap, ye lame, for joy. Murderers and all ye hellish crew, ye sons of lust and pride, believe that Jesus died for you, for sin the Savior died. Glory to God and praise and love be ever, ever given by saints below and saints above, the church in earth and heaven." Those are the verses left out in most editions of "O for a Thousand Tongues to Sing." We also add some sequels occasionally to some of the hymnody. I've written a sequel to "Christ the Lord is Risen Today." It's called "Christ Our Lord Now Reigns from Heaven. He has won for us salvation. Jesus crushed the serpent's head. By his death for us he conquered. Hallelujah. Satan fell at our Lord's coming. God has raised his Son to glory, far above all earth and heaven, for his rule all power is given. At the cross his work was finished. Pharaoh's armies all were vanquished. Lift your voice and shout for joy. Now we shall divide the spoil. Lord of lords and King of kings, to his feet his foes he brings. The stronger one has burst the grave to redeem the strong men's slaves. Hallelujah. By his word he conquers nations. To the world he brings salvation. His kingdom spreads from shore to shore. Every nation joins the chorus. Hallelujah. Over all our Lord is reigning. Satan's power is ever waning. Jesus' kingdom cannot fail. Always ere he will prevail. Hallelujah. So that is the sequel to "Christ the Lord is Risen Today." This is some of the things that we've done with our hymnody at our little church out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. But for this edition of the program, I want to include an author of a new book called Hidden in the Hymns. Her name is Rivers Housiel, and she now joins me on the Generations broadcast. Rivers, welcome to the Generations broadcast.
Hello, thank you so much for having me.
Hymnody, it's a great concept. We've largely lost it in so many churches around America. I have no idea what percentage of American churches are still drawing from the old hymns from 2,000 years of heritage, but we got to revive this. We got to bring this back, don't we? I mean, is that something of your passion for this book?
Yes. Yes, that was the purpose of the book. Mm-hmm. I grew up with these hymns, and as I got older, I realized how few other Christian children in America grew up with these hymns, and I thought that was shameful.
Yeah. Well, what do you think it was that just, I don't know, people began to see the hymns as passé and boring, I guess. They abandoned the hymns. What happened, do you think?
I came to the conclusion, and that was the purpose of this book, that a lot of it was the wording of the hymns.
Mm-hmm.
That they're simply not easy to understand because it's more archaic language, and people didn't want to put the... It takes effort to understand them.
Right, because there's depth to it. So, I don't know, maybe it's a lack of decent education. Maybe people just don't understand concepts, or maybe they're not able to read, or they have a limited vocabulary or something like that. But it is something we need to train into our children. So I guess the intent here is to use your book, Hidden in the Hymns, as something of a resource for homeschooling families and Christian families who'd like to be sure that children understand these hymns.
That was the hope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've had a couple of mothers tell me that they use it with their kids homeschooling to teach them vocabulary. They use it as a family devotional.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what I hoped for it, that it would help children to learn the vocabulary so that they can appreciate these hymns.
You know, I think I was raised with the hymns. You know, I'm thinking back in the 60s and 70s, my parents raised us out in the mission field in Japan, and we would pull out the psalms and hymns and sing them. And I think there were certain hymns that I would sing, and I had no idea what I was singing. I think that does happen. You know, you grow up, and you know, you're 24 years old. You go, oh, is that what that hymn meant? You know, you weren't sure that that's what it was saying. So we want to go over some of these examples in just a moment. I've got actually a list of them that I want to run by you, because I think, you know, it would be good to know what the hymns are saying. There's a lot of richness here, and there, you know, this is something that could really buttress our faith and enrich our worship. So let's figure it out. Let's figure out what we're saying. So it's a negative, really, isn't it? Well, you're parroting something you just don't understand. I mean, that's not where you want to be.
No.
So let's talk about some examples. And I've just got some out here. I'm thinking "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." Okay, first of all, just briefly, A Mighty Fortress. I was just thinking about this the other day. We were singing it at our church, and I thought, A Mighty Fortress. What is a fortress? Do we even think about fortresses anymore? You know, you think of castles. I guess it's castle.
They're so romanticized.
It would be a castle, wouldn't it?
That's probably what the average child has in their mind.
Yeah. But in a defense against the attack of the demon world. I mean, that's what it is. That's what we're singing. Mm-hmm. But here's the lyric I want to put by it. Lord Sabaoth his name. From age to age, the same. You've heard this. We've sung it many times. Yeah, I think as a kid, I was thinking, that's the Sabbath day. This is the Lord who just kind of sits around and rests all day long. But that's not what it means. That's not what the Lord Sabaoth, his name. That's not what it means.
But as you said, it's the Lord Sabaoth, the Lord of the hosts of heaven, is how I phrased it here. I was trying to remember how I chose to paraphrase it.
Yeah,
but it's... As you said, there's a lot of theological insight in those hidden phrases that if we can just unlock them, they will teach us more about the ways of our God and show us things that are not obvious. That's why I love these hymns so much, is that these hymn writers were not content to sing about the trite and the obvious.
Mm-hmm.
They really mined scripture and sang about all aspects of our God and marveled at it all.
Yeah, and as you're singing this, the Lord Sabaoth his name. From age to age, the same, and he must win the battle. I mean, you picture yourself in the armies of the living God, and he's winning, and we're winning. And I can't help but raise my hands. It's kind of this victory march when I sing these lyrics. But you got to understand what they mean, that Jesus Christ is going before us, Lord of hosts. He is leading, as you say, the hosts of heaven, and he is going to win the battle. He must win the battle. It's impossible for him to lose the battle. I mean, that kind of stuff is going to warm your blood in the worship, isn't it?
Precisely.
That's the whole idea here.
Yes.
Let's also think about a Christmas carol. So this is one of the Christmas carols that comes to my mind. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity. This comes from Hark the Herald Angels Sing. It's one of my favorite. In fact, this is my favorite Christmas carol, bar none.
Yes.
Hark the Herald. Okay. So now we say Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Well, you got to understand what that is. Now, you're out on the plains with the shepherds, and you got to put yourself out there. And hark means what?
I was probably 12 years old before I knew.
Yeah, you probably were, right? Hark.
Probably. Yes.
Hark. Well, that's... to listen. So we're listening.
It's a joyous call.
Yeah, it's a joyous call to listen to the herald of the angels, meaning that they are proclaiming something amazing. They're coming down from the courts of heaven, from the courts of the living God, who is sending his son, who is now born in the manger in Bethlehem, and the angels are singing these wonderful lyrics, and we are singing, veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity. That refers to Jesus, doesn't it?
It does. There's a lot of doctrine and theology veiled in that phrase, but until a child or anyone knows what it's talking about, that won't be obvious to them.
So what we see in Christ in the incarnation with this little baby is the living God. I mean, now obviously that's the human nature of Christ, but there's also the personality of Christ, which includes both his deity and his humanity, both of which will be evident in the appearance of the Son of God in time and space. So what he's speaking of is both character or both natures of Christ, the human nature in the incarnate human nature of Christ, and also the deity of Christ, both evident to us. But the deity of Christ is somewhat veiled in flesh by his coming.
Well, it's a human trying to wrestle with the paradox of the incarnation.
Right. One of my favorite hymns of all time is God Moves in a Mysterious Way His Wonders to Perform. Now, do you treat this one in the book?
I do not think so, because if I'm not mistaken, that one's based on a psalm, is it not?
God moves in a mysterious way His wonders to perform. He plants His footsteps in the deeps and rides upon the storms.
Yes.
Deep and unfathomable mines of never-ending skill, he treasures up his bright designs and works his sovereign will. Now, you go over a hymn like that, Rivers, and it's like that's deep. That speaks of God's sovereignty and that God has a purpose in everything that happens in the world. Even, you know, ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds ye so much dread are big with mercies and shall drop in blessings on your head. In other words, even when things are going badly and it appears you're going through the worst storm of your life, God is going to bring something good out of it.
Yes.
Beautiful.
Contrast that with many of the common pop songs from today who try to give the same comfort in far less meaningful ways.
Yeah, so you don't get the depth, right?
No.
And it seems to me that the depth of these hymns make them far more encouraging, you know, to us. Let's take another one. Raise My Ebenezer. Now, I think that comes from Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, isn't
it
that
does.
Right? The second verse speaks of Raise My Ebenezer. What is that?
Well, it's a reference to, I think it's in 2 Samuel, but you'll have to forgive me if I have that wrong. But it's Ebenezer means stone of help. I raise my stone of help. I believe in my paraphrase, I called it a monument because that's the best example I could give to a child to understand it. This here I declare that God was my help.
Hmm. Now, how would you recommend that your book be used, Rivers? You know, so these kids are, you know, showing up at church on Sunday. They're singing, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. Hark the herald angels sing, a mighty fortress is our God. How should parents use your resource?
My original intention for it was to be kind of a during the week companion to what they're singing and worship on the Lord's Day.
Hmm.
And at our church, I don't know how it is with most, but on our church, we know what we'll be singing in the middle of the week beforehand. So I thought, let the children read the hymns that they're about to be singing so that when they sing them on Sunday morning, they have this imagery and the understanding to go along with it. And if you don't know them ahead of time, then come home on Sunday afternoon and read them then. But I meant it to be a companion during the week, to extend what they're worshiping with on Sunday into their everyday.
You think a 12-year-old can understand a mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing? And though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for he has willed his truth to triumph through us. One little word shall fail him. That word above all earthly powers, no thanks to them, abideth. The spirit and the gifts are ours, et cetera, et cetera. Do you think the average 12-year-old child could understand that?
As is, absolutely not. I mean, if we're talking about just the average American 12-year-old, absolutely not.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that if they are guided through it, then the concept behind the words they absolutely can understand, and they need to.
Mm. Do you find yourself singing hymns throughout the week?
they run through my head, especially as I was writing this book. Yes, they. Mm-hmm. Even if I can't remember the tune, I've got lines of poetry.
Mm-hmm.
Stuck in there.
Well, you notice that I do too. You know, they just come to me. Now, I sing a lot myself. You know, I sing throughout the day. I sit down at the piano and play. And as I say, I work on developing new hymnody.
Yes.
But it's I think one of the most important parts of the Christian life. You look at Ephesians chapter 5. You know, it turns out psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs isn't just for something we do on Sundays. As I see it, Ephesians 5 speaks of the everyday Christian life, the way that the Christian home should be framed. I mean, we should be singing hymns, psalms, and spiritual songs and making melody in our hearts to the Lord on a daily basis. You agree with that?
Yes. Yes. We are to be a musical people. Mm-hmm. And on the whole, we have forgotten that in the American church.
Yeah, that's for sure. That's for sure. Well, I just want to encourage folks to this resource, Hidden in the Hymns, simply called Hidden in the Hymns. You can do a search for it. It's available on Amazon and other sources, and we want to handle this product as well. But 80 old hymns, and vocabulary is explained. This goes through the original wording very carefully and explains at, I'd say, about a 12-year-old level what the hymns are talking about. And so, again, recommend the resource to you, Hidden in the Hymns. And the author is our guest today, Rivers Hauziel. And anything else you'd like to add, Rivers?
Well, I was just going to point out that it is available on Amazon, but they also can find it on our own website, nogginknows.com. And if they would love, they can also learn more about my family that published it and just get to know us a little better if they would like to look there.
Very good. Nogginknows.com. Let me spell that out for you. NogginKnows. So noggin as in the noggin. Okay.
Yes. And then add your nose.
And then add a nose to it. You get a noggin, you get a nose. It's nogginknows.com. Yes. For this resource and a few other resources as well. This is part of the family economy for Rivers Hauziel and the family. The book is Hidden in the Hymns, available at nogginknows.com. Thanks, Rivers. Appreciate you joining us on this edition of the Generations Broadcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
And folks, let me add that if you'd like an immediate discount on that resource at nogginknows.com, just simply include the discount code GENERATIONS, and that will get you 10% off plus free shipping. So again, the discount code will be GENERATIONS at nogginknows.com. That gets you 10% off plus free shipping. And the resource that we recommend to you today is Hidden in the Hymns. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.